great day to be a Christian. Amen? And to know for sure that you're saved, know that you're on your way to heaven, and know that you're just passing through this place called Earth. Amen? And that there's much more to look forward to. And I'm grateful to be a Christian. I'm grateful to know Jesus as my Savior. If you're here today, boy, I like that song that Miss Jennifer sang. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is right for whatever you're facing. And a lot of truth in that, and I appreciate that. Hebrews chapter number 12, and we'll look at a few verses this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. If you found your place in Hebrews chapter number 12, let me encourage you to stand. We'll look at just a few verses there in the first part of Hebrews in chapter number 12. And let's look at verse number 1, all right? Start reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." I want to go back to verse number 2, and verse number 2 is where the message will come from this morning. About halfway down in that passage, I want you to notice right after that semicolon, notice the phrase the Bible says, "who for the joy that was set before him." And I want to preach this morning on this subject, the joy of the cross. The joy of the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for Lord, the cross, and Lord, what it stands for, and God, that Lord, it was on that cross that our sin was paid for, and God, because of that cross, Lord, we can have everlasting life. God, thank you for your word, and God, how that each time that we open it, Lord, it speaks to our hearts if we'll allow it to. And God, I do pray that you'd be with each one of us that is sitting here this morning, God, that you would take the message, Lord, that'll be preached, and Lord, that you would help us to apply it to our lives, God, that you would help us, Lord, to examine our hearts, Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, from the Scripture this morning and challenge us, God, and Lord, remind us of the price that was paid, Lord God, for salvation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you'll do in it. If there's one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that, Lord, today would be the day that they would make that decision, Lord, the most important decision that one can make, Lord, to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they wouldn't leave this place today without making that decision. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Hebrews, the writer here in the book of Hebrews, we don't know for certain who the writer is. There are some that that want to think that Paul maybe wrote the book of Hebrews, but it doesn't give us anything clear that Paul wrote the book. We do know that a lot of the writings are similar to the writings that Paul would write, but nonetheless, in chapter number 12 here, the writer is encouraging the believers to run their race and to continue their race because of the example and the confidence that they have in Jesus Christ. And by the way, the Christian life is a race. It has many ups. It has some downs. It has some curves. It has some obstacles that you will face. And so it is a race that we run. We never know what we may face in this Christian life. And so the writer is encouraging them, hey, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Continue on. And you can continue on because of the example of Jesus Christ. I like to notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. And by the way, the only way to run your race is to keep your eyes on Jesus. May I remind you this morning, if I take my eyes off of Jesus, if I look at those things around me, if I look at those that are around me, if I look at those discouragements that would be around me, hey, it's very easy for me, it's very easy for you to throwing the towel on the race that we are running. And that's why the writer says, look unto Jesus. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can continue in the race that God has set before me. Looking unto Jesus, notice what it says, the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author there, it simply carries the meaning of the originator or the founder or the leader, if you will. It comes from that Greek word. And the word finisher, it carries the definition of being the perfecter, being the completer, if you will, the finisher. And let me just say this, Jesus is both the source and the completion of our faith. He is both the source and the completion of our faith. What do you mean? Well, without Him, we have no faith. He is the source of our faith. It is because of Him that we can have faith, because He went to that cross, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. And He died, and He was buried, and He arose again. But without Him, we have no faith. Let me say this, without Him, we have no hope. Without Him, we have no faith. Had He not gone to that cross, had He not given His life, had He not gone to that grave and then rose again on the third day, there'd be no hope as a Christian. But thank God we have hope. I want to focus on the next phrase that is mentioned, though. The Bible says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Now, what was set before Him? Well, the cross. Doesn't take much thinking to think about in the life of Jesus. What was it that was set before Him? Well, it was that cross. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him. I think about that that little phrase there, and it causes me to scratch my head and think, man, the joy that was set before Him. You think about the word joy. Well, it only has really one meaning. It is that of joy. That of rejoicing, if you will. That of happiness. That of gladness. And I scratch my head and I think about as I read that, who for the joy that was set before Him, I think, boy, how in the world could the writer of Hebrews write this phrase that it was a joy that was set before Him? You think about the crucifixion and all that comes along with it. I mean, you think about such a difficult time, such a painful thing, such a degrading time, such a humbling time, and such a shameful time. I mean, you think about the crucifixion, and there was no more humiliating death, if you will, than that of the crucifixion. Nothing entailed more shame than that of the crucifixion. As you think of that, I want you to think about the crucifixion and what we know from the Scripture. And they would take Jesus and they would strip Him of His clothes. Boy, you talk about shame. Let's take you and take and strip you of your clothes and put you on a cross today. That'd be shameful, wouldn't it? That'd be a little bit humiliating, I believe. And so you think about they stripped Him of His clothes and they put Him on that cross and they'd take and they'd take that crown of thorns and they'd place it upon His head and they would beat it down into His head so that it was embedded there in His head and the blood would begin to flow forth and they would begin to mock at Him as they would pass by Him. Those that already said, He's not Jesus. I mean, He's just claiming to be Jesus. And they would mock at Him and they would say, hey, Jesus. At least that's who you say you are. If you're Jesus, why don't you come down off of that cross and save yourself? I mean, they would mock at Him and they would falsely accuse Him. And they would say, you're no king of the Jews. You say that, but you're not really the king of the Jews. And they would pass by. You think about the crucifixion and they would spit upon Him. Boy, nothing more degrading than being spit upon. That's only happened to me just a few times in my life, but boy, just degrading and humiliating. They would spit upon Him and they would berate Him, and not only that, but they would come by and they would buffet Him. They'd take their fist and they would hit Him. And they would demean the Son of God there on that cross. And then after all of that, they would take a cat of nine tails and they would whip Him across the back. And that cat of nine tails with different pieces of metal and bone and things of that nature, glass and such. It would cut and grab into the very flesh of the Son of God, ripping off the very flesh there of the Son of God. They would take him and they would nail his hands and they would nail his feet to that cross. And then to end it all, they would take a spear and place it in his side. And, can I just say that I just described, it doesn't even really do justice as a description of what Christ suffered for you and for me. And the writer, he would say that this was a joy for the Son of God, who for the joy that was set before him. How could this writer say that it was a joy that was set before him to go to that cross and suffer that shame and suffer that abuse and suffer that humiliation and all that came with that? Well, I just want to give you three things this morning, and really just three words quickly that I believe would cause the writer to say it was a joy that was set before him to go to that cross, to go to that cross, to face that humiliation, to face that abuse, to face all of the suffering that took place there on the cross. It was a joy. Well, I see this. I see, number one, it was a joy because of, number one, redemption. Redemption. I believe the writer of Hebrews, that it was a joy that he could say that it was a joy that was set before the Son of God, because it was through the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. It was through that suffering. It was through that pain. It was through that humiliation. It was through that shame. It was through that cross and the sacrifice there that redemption was made. The word redeem, if you study it out, it would carry the idea of to buy or to pay off, to clear a payment. You understand this morning that man is born into this world under the condemnation of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Many that would like to carry the idea or think that that they are without sin, but can I tell you, the Bible reminds us that we're all sinners. You understand that it was in that garden, friend, listen, it was in that garden of Eden that sin was partaken of, but it was on the cross of Calvary that sin was paid for. It was in the garden of Eden that sin was victorious, or seemed to be victorious, but it was on the cross of Calvary that sin was conquered. Hey, it was in the garden of Eden that sin prevailed, we could say, but it was on the cross of Calvary that sin was subjected. It was in the Garden of Eden that man became enslaved, but it was on the cross of Calvary that man was free. How is it that this writer could say it was a joy for Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary? I tell you why. It was because of redemption. You understand that in that garden, man was brought under the bondage of sin, if you will. And year after year, if you read through the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus and those books, you understand that year after year, the high priest would have to enter into the Holy of Holies, and he would have to come and he would have to offer the blood sacrifice, a pure sacrifice, to seek atonement for man's sins. But can I remind you, it was on the cross of Calvary that the pure, spotless Lamb of God, listen, it was on that cross that he offered as a sacrifice for sin, once and for all. And through him, that man can be free forever. Why could this writer say that it was a joy for Jesus to go to the cross, or it was a joy that was set before him? Oh, I say it was because of redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, for as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, or of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why was it a joy? It was a joy because of redemption. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Galatians in chapter number 4, verse number 5, the Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You understand, it was a joy for Jesus to go to that cross. It was a joy that was set before Him, because it was on that cross and through the sacrifice of the death, the burial, and the resurrection that man is brought back to God and brought back to God, friend. It's through redemption. And the joy of the cross was number one. Through that of redemption, I say this, the joy of the cross, number two, is because of reconciliation. Because of redemption, number two, because of reconciliation. The word reconcile, it means to bring into agreement or to bring into harmony. You understand that man by nature is born separated from God. By nature, I don't have to do anything to be separated from God. I'm already separated from God. You don't have to do anything to be separated from God. All you have to do is be born. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, one of the most common verses in the Bible, for all have sinned. You understand, it's sin that separates. And all have sinned, and because of all being sinners, we are all separated. Job chapter 14, verse number 1, man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. Sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 1, for there is not a just man upon the earth. None of us. You understand, we all have the same problem. Every one of us. There's none that are better than others. Because you're a grown-up doesn't mean you're better than a teenager. Because you're a grandparent doesn't mean that you're better than a parent. We all have the same problem. And can I remind you that it doesn't take us doing anything for it to be present. We're born into it. We're born sinners. It was in the Garden of Eden as that old wicked serpent, Satan himself, as he would deceive Eve into taking of that fruit. And then Eve would give that fruit to her husband, Adam, and the fellowship there in that garden was broken with God the Father. You understand that up to that point, Adam and Eve, boy, they knew what it was like to commune with God the Father on a daily basis. They knew what it was like to have sweet communion. And can I remind you, that's an example for us, that Satan sure knows how to throw a monkey wrench in something good. He sure knows how to stick his nose in where it doesn't belong. Oh, but listen to me. Though that fellowship was broken there in the Garden of Eden, listen, it doesn't end there, praise God. Hey, fellowship was broken there in that garden, but might I remind you that it was on the cross of Calvary that fellowship was made available once again. Reconciliation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining unto God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Can I say, any parent in here that has ever had a child that has gone wayward, that is maybe raised right and taught right, and has gone out into the world and gotten involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in, and gotten away from the Lord, but then to to come back and to make that fellowship right and to reconcile themselves to their parents. Any parent that's ever gone through that, boy, you know what that's like. You know the excitement that comes with that reconciliation. But can I say to you how much more exciting it must have been for God the Father to have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I believe the writer of Hebrews was able to pin the word that we see here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him, I believe those words were able to be penned because the writer understood that it was for the reconciliation of man that Jesus went to that cross, that he went and suffered that shame, that he went and laid down his life. That was the joy of which he penned. It was a joy for Jesus to go to that cross. I see number one because of the word redemption. I see number two because of the word reconciliation. Number three, it was a joy because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, when we look at the cross, when we look at the crucifixion, and I've already described some of that already and given you some thoughts on that, but we look at it at face value, the word or the words that come to our mind right at first is probably not the word joy. The Hebrews writer, he says, for the joy that was set before him. In fact, the word or words that come to my mind as I think about the cross, as I think about the crucifixion and all that Jesus would have gone through, the first words that I think of would be maybe that of pain, maybe that of suffering, or maybe some of those words that I've already used, humiliation or shame or so on and so forth, torment maybe, would be words that would come. Oh, but can I remind you, not for Christ. Oh, that's not the words that would come to mind for Christ, friend. Listen, it was a joy that was set before him. Why? Because he knew that death would not be victor. The resurrection is what he was looking for. You're reminded of a story that was once told. You've heard the story told from this pulpit. There's an old man approaching a Little League baseball game one day, and he's approaching the baseball game, and he comes up, and he leans against the fence there by the dugout, and he hollers over to one of the boys there at the dugout, and he says, "Hey, what's the score?" The young boy replies, "Well, it's 18 to nothing, and we're behind." "Wow," exclaimed the old man. He said, "Boy, you must be pretty discouraged." The little boy looked at him, and he said, "No, why would I be discouraged? We haven't even been to bat yet, friend." And I ask you this, have you ever had your eyes set on something? And it didn't really matter the discouragement. Didn't really matter the obstacles that maybe would come in the way. It didn't really matter the complications and the challenges that came with it. You were able to push through because you could see the other side. You knew what was on the other side awaiting. What was going to be on the other side of those complications. What would be on the other side of those challenges. I think about that. I think about athletes that play through injuries. Right now, in the playoffs, boy, there are many of them. They're playing these long series, and a lot of them are facing different challenges. But you know what they do? They play through those challenges. They continue on. They'll tape themselves up, and they'll brace themselves up. They'll ice up. They'll do whatever it takes to be able to get in another minute, continue to play, to help their team move forward. Why is that? They've got their eyes on one thing, the championship. They're able to push through those challenges. They're able to push through those complications because they're looking at one thing. They've got one goal in mind. It's to win that championship. There's some that are now living at what a lot of us are looking for, that of retirement. Those that serve their time and now are living in that time of retirement, you had to work through some aches and pains. There were times trying to get to that mark, man, of retirement. And I don't know, what is it now, 67? Is that the age? Somewhere around there? trying to get to that age to say, man, I put my time in, and you know what, I'm done. Let some of these young folks serve. You get to that time, and you go through aches and pains, and many even would put up with things in those latter years that maybe as a young man you wouldn't have put up with. You said, man, I'll find another job. But why would you put up with that? Why would you go through that? Why? Because you got your eyes set on one thing. Man, that retirement is coming. And you know what? I'll be able to sit back, keep my feet up in the recliner, get me a glass of sweet tea, and watch the ball game or whatever your favorite show is. Think about marriage. I see Jacob and Brianna over here, and they'll be getting married Friday. And I know that's an exciting time. But think about it in a groom's life. Before you were married, boy, you think about getting ready for marriage. You think about breaking the bank account almost. You think about, man, preparing, making plans for the wedding. And you know what, really? For the guys, we don't care. Do whatever you want to do, all right? Pick whatever decorations you want to pick. Set them wherever you want to set them. You can put them in the middle of the aisle. It doesn't really matter. When you think about all that and the stress that's involved in making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be and everybody's dressed like they're supposed to be and everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you're thinking about that groom as he would think about all of those things and the stresses that would come along with that, finding a place to stay and making sure the finances are in order and the pressure of adding on a mother-in-law. Not you, Mr. Think about all of that, and what is it that causes them to put all that aside? Well, when that bride steps out in that aisle, all of that goes out the window. Man, I don't even care if I have any money, Brother Steve. Man, look at there she is. It's all on that bride. Think about it. Can I say, though it was an agony as the Lord Jesus would face the cruel death of the cross. And he would pray the words, Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 38, he said this, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. In verse number 39, he said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, God, if there's any way around this, there's anything other than me having to go to that cross. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Can I say, though it was sorrowful at the same token, it was joyous. It was through this sacrifice that my sins and your sins would forever be paid. Jesus Christ knew that the grave could not hold him, friend. Listen, because of that resurrection, it's the reason that we hear the writer say it was for the joy of the cross. Why? Because of the resurrection. Remember the words of Jesus in John chapter number 2 as he told those there in the temple. He said, you can destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up, or I'll raise it up again. Hey, he knew that they would bind him, but Sunday was coming. Listen. He knew that they would buffet him, but Sunday was coming. He knew that they would berate him, but, oh, friend, listen, Sunday was coming. He knew that they would blaspheme him, but Sunday was coming, and they would bloody him and bruise him, and they would try to bridle him, friend, listen, but Sunday was coming. They put him on that cross and crucify him. They'd take his lifeless body and they would place it in a new tomb, and they'd place a stone in front of that tomb, and they would take and they would seal that tomb, and they'd place guards in front of that tomb, if you will. But can I remind you, listen, as the scripture would say in Matthew chapter 28, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And can I say, in the words of the songwriter, hey, listen, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Hey, he wouldn't stay in that tomb. How is it that the writer of Hebrews would say, hey, it's a joy for him to go to that cross. It's a joy because he knew that that resurrection was coming, friend. Hey, it's a joy because of that resurrection. The work of salvation would be completed, and through the resurrection, it would be completed. They had taken his life, or he had given his life. Can you please that? They didn't take it. He gave it willingly. He had given his life, but they had cruelly abused him. They had cruelly humiliated him. They had cruelly shamed him. Can I remind you, he gave his life, and they took that body and put it in a tomb, but it didn't stay there. Oh, listen, why is it a joy for him to go to that cross? It's a joy because of the resurrection. He knew that after 3 days and three nights, and he had told those disciples and those that were before, he had told them that, hey, in 3 days and three nights, he said, they'll take my life or I'll give my life. But in 3 days and three nights, hey, it'll raise up again. I'll come back to life and conquer death. And in order for salvation to be completed, Christ must rise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. What Paul said, ye are yet in your sins. You understand, anybody could go to the cross, if you will. There were two, one on each side of it. Anybody could go to a cross. Anybody could be humiliated like he was. Anybody could go to that cross and shed their blood, if you will, be slain. But can I remind you, not anyone could be resurrected. Not anyone could be resurrected. It was a joy for Jesus to go to that cross. It was a joy that was set before him because of the resurrection. What separates Christianity from any other religion? All the world. One word. Resurrection. Resurrection. Oh, listen, friend. It was a joy for him to go to that cross. Why? Because of redemption. He bought man back. It was at that cross that man was bought back. Oh, listen. Man fell to sin. Man was under the bondage of sin, but it was on the cross of Calvary that Jesus paid that price that you and I could not pay. The offer redemption. It was a joy to go to that cross because of reconciliation, that fellowship was brought back that once was there. Now, listen, because of the cross, now you and I, we can commune with God, we can walk with God, just as Adam and Eve communed with God there in that garden. Oh, listen, that was the joy of the cross. The joy of the cross was not only that, but that of the resurrection. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you think in your mind, you know what, I don't know about all this. I don't know if this is all true. Well, you're reading it right here in the Bible, the Word of God. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. He's plotting and he's saying, hey, that's the truth. The truth is, Jesus did go to the cross. Jesus did die on that cross. Jesus did pay the price that you owe, that I owe. Jesus was buried, but listen to me. Jesus didn't stay in that grave. After 3 days and three nights, he arose again. And because of that, listen, Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says, and he hath made us to sit together with him in heavenly places because of his resurrection. Listen, I'm afforded the opportunity of salvation. Do you know him today? The joy of the cross. Hey, it was a joy for him to go to the cross. Why? For me, for you. Oh, listen, it was a joy for him to go to that cross. He rejoiced to go to that cross for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. God, thank you for the cross of Calvary. And God, we could never do it justice for what you did or the price that you paid for us on the cross of Calvary. God, we can only take what you've given us in your word and, Lord, try to do the best that we can with it, God. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to understand, Lord, the price that was paid on cross of Calvary, and Lord, how much you love us. And God, as you gave your life for us, Lord, it was a joy for you to go to that cross. Lord, I can't even understand that. Sorry. God, just a few thoughts of why it was a joy. Reconciled unto you, God. And Lord, because of that, Father, we can have eternal life. And God, for that, we're thankful. Lord, I pray that you would take the invitation time. And Lord, do what you will with it. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today they would be saved. Lord, I pray they wouldn't pass by the opportunity